Morning.
Good morning.
So guess who this is and when it is and where it's at. It is so. It is me on the left, Steve Blackwell in the middle, and a guy named Brian on the right. This was back in 1986, and it is at Maranatha Bible Camp. So we still go to Maranatha Bible. So this is 30 years ago. I actually went there as long as 40 years ago. So I really want to encourage you that this is an important event. If you have any influence over students going to camp, please influence them to go. We see people come to Christ every single year. It's an amazing time. That date is wrong. If you make a $25 deposit now by April 30th, you can save $75. So get that in. There's brochures in the back. So I really encourage you to support this whole ministry. Currently, we have 20 junior hires registered and 45 high schoolers. And that's just right now. We'll probably have a lot more than that, with a total of 65 kids going to camp. So pretty excited about how that's shaping up. Again, the brochures are in the back at the information desk. We're going to have a bake sale next Sunday to help support it. And if you'd like to help with donations, that would be greatly appreciated as well. So this group are not a fan group, which is kind of like our youth group on Sunday nights. We went on a spring break mission trip to this same camp, and we spent some time there. We spent 5 days there. This is the group that went. There was 14 students that went, and there we are. Here we are the very first morning. It was like 35 degrees out there. We were out there promptly at 8 o'clock, working at 8 o'clock, and it was freezing, and so our hands were getting all numb, but we stuck at it. In fact, I was really proud of our group because they were all ready to work. I didn't have to drag anybody out of bed or anything like that. It was everybody was prompt, ready to go. In fact, I had decided I was not going to do that. That it was just, I just kind of felt that they were going to take the initiative, and that I wasn't going to do any pushing. It was just going to be about them wanting to serve. And indeed, that's what they all did. And in fact, they worked steadily. For the entire shifts, we worked for 8 hours each day, and they always stay busy. I never told them to get back to work. They told me a few times, but I never told them. And so they did a great job. And the camp, a number of people, and they contacted me by email later as well. They said, you know, you guys just did so much more than we expected. In fact, they had to go find more work for us to do than what they had laid out. So I think a round of applause to all of our students that went and participated in that. I think they did a really great job. And a few more pictures. This isn't all of them. This is after they got finished digging that hole. I thought it meant, you know. It was really hard soil, by the way. And it was cold. And here they are working. I told them to smile, so they did. And got a picture of that. And then here's a picture of Hector. I don't know why he only has a half a wheelbarrow, but he's a hard worker, so we won't hold that against him. Probably half of it was taken out already, right? Here we are unloading a loader. All this sod that we were pulling up, we were putting it all down there because last year it flooded so bad that they lost a lot of their grass. And so that's what we were doing with the sod. As well as building concrete walkways. Here's some work being done inside. We're doing all the walls in the gym as well. We're also doing walls in some of the buildings. It's all clean there now, but it was quite dirty, by the way, when they were working on them. Here we're laying some of the cement. You can see it was part of a pathway, and it comes this way and goes around towards another building, by the way. And again, that was the group right there. So then, as part of this, both preparing to go and as well as when we were there, we talked about, you know, what the purpose in all this was. And so one of the girls said, you know, I think we should call it our why. And so I ended up just drawing this on one of my shirts while I was there, just to kind of walk around and remind ourselves that we're doing this for a reason, more than just to get the job done, that there's deeper issues involved. And, you know, what is your why kind of became the question. And so I wanted to give you, by the way, a chance to think about this and to talk to the person sitting next to you. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to just discuss just for a moment with the person next to you. When you serve in some capacity or volunteer for something, do you consider your why? Do you think about it, and do you mull it in your mind, why am I doing that? So go ahead and talk to the person next to you for about 30 seconds and just talk about that question. Ten more seconds. Okay, so when we talked about this, we came up with several reasons that we thought were our why. The first one was that we want to invest our lives into things that have true meaning and value wherever we possibly can, and things that are important to God and have eternal consequence. So that was our first why. The second one is that we think Maranatha is a good ministry to invest in. And the reason we think that is because we've been there. I've been there for many years, and every time I go, people find Christ and grow in their commitment. So I really like that we're doing something for a ministry I know about, and I know what's going to happen with our efforts. So that was our second why. And the third why was probably the most important and the one that is by far the hardest. And that is, and the one I want to talk about today is, that is, we want to love God through our service, not just to do what needs to be done, but sincerely and intimately love God with our entire being as we're doing the serving. So not just know what needs to be done. It's important to do what needs to be done, but to go much further than that, to intimately seek to love God through that process is the number three, and by far, I think, the most important of the reasons. So I want to give you some scripture that I think backs up this idea, and so I'm going to read the white part, and you're going to read the yellow. Steve does something like this, right? I don't know how he does it, but this is how we're going to do it. And so here we go. Luckily, you won't start with the Hebrew. I'll start with the Hebrew. Shema Yisrael, which means hear, O Israel. In Deuteronomy 6:4-9, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. These words I am commanding you today must be kept in mind. As you walk along the road,
as you lie down,
and you get up, you should tie them as a reminder on your forearm and fasten them as symbols on your forehead. So you can see, and this, by the way, was the most important prayer in Judaism, and they needed to say it twice a day. And you could see from the scripture that this was not just some casual sort of thing, that this is what God commanded them to focus on, so that you were doing it all the time. And you were putting it on your gates, and you were putting it on, they call them phylacteries, putting them on your forehead and on your arm. I mean, this is what God wants. He wants us to love him with all of our heart and all of our soul. And in fact, we go on and we find out that Jesus is asked in the New Testament, in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus is asked, what is the greatest command? And here is how he answers that question. And again, you'll read the yellow. Jesus answered him and said, the first of all the commandments, and when he says first, it was like the preeminent. The first of all the commandments is, then he kind of quotes back to Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the first commandment. So it's clear here that God wants us to love him with our whole being, not just in a casual way. And so God is not asking for a casual relationship. We might think of our relationship with God, you know, I talk to God here and there, I listen to the radio and I go to church. But that's not what he's commanding us at all. His command is to love him with our entire being. I mean, when he describes the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength, he's talking about our emotion. We're to love God with our feeling. We're to love him with our thoughts, our whole thought life, our intellect, when we're trying to study, when we're trying to figure things out, as well as our physical. We're to love him in just every way possible. So when you think about it, our relationship with God, it's even more intimate than marriage. I mean, consider how close we are to God, that although he designed us to be distinct individuals, he also is part of everything that we are. I believe that without God, that if he pulls away from this universe, that we don't exist. I mean, I think he holds it all together. He makes it all work. Everything that we are, our being, is permeated with him. Furthermore, God loves us and in a way that surpasses all understanding. As Christians, his spirit lives inside us. I mean, we're describing an intimate relationship that goes far beyond anything that we have in marriage, where the person is over here and we're trying to relate as deep as we can. God permeates our very being and he lives inside of us. This is a very, very intimate relationship that he has set up, where he's loving us. And the question is, though, as Christians, are we returning that? It says in the 8:16 of Romans, says the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are God's children. I mean, this is, again, an intimacy which is beyond anything that we can possibly comprehend, that we, our Creator and everything that we are and keeps us alive is part of us, and then as a spirit, he comes inside of us and he bears witness with us and he loves us. This is deep. And what do we do in return, though? Here it is that we have this God that loves us this much and is so much part of us, but what do we do in return? Do we seek to love him back with all that we are? Or do we just try to play off a casual relationship? So again, going back to that number three, we want to love God through our service, not just do what he needs to be done, but to sincerely and intimately love him through our entire being as we're doing the serving. Making the serving so much part of this act of loving him. So he's not asking just for a lot. He's asking for everything. He's wanting us to give our all to him, to love him with our entire being. I wanted to give something that I felt like it helps for me to understand a little bit better what God is asking for. And this is a picture of my wife and I just before we got married. We were at DIA here. We got married in Italy. And so before I left, I got this shot. I think my mom took it of us. And so before this, I wanted to, so when we were dating, I wanted to express to my wife love to her. And I wanted to you know, somehow do something that would, you know, tell her I love her. So what I did is I made some of this jewelry, and I have it in here, but it's kind of hard to see from way out there. But there it is. There's the V. And the one on the left, which happens to be missing a petal on the right, she broke it. But the one on the left, the idea is that my wife is, she's a very outgoing, she's a very loving person, and she's empathetic, and she's out there. You'll feel loved by her. You won't get that so much from me. I'll try, but I'm just not so good at that. I am, however, the rock. And so we discussed this when we were dating, how our relationship was such that I provide like stability in the relationship. I'm very consistent and steady. She, on the other hand, is very loving, and she puts herself out there. And so we thought it was a good kind of a combination that we're opposite and that we could support each other in that way. So when I started making this, I was considering our relationship, and I knew she would totally understand when I gave this to her what I was giving and what it would mean to her to get this. And the one on the right is a slightly different scenario, where when we were first, before we got even dated at all, she was with a friend at the Sunday school convention, and I was there with them, but we weren't together in any kind of way at all. And her friend Mary, she was discussing with her friend that the guy she's going to marry would know her so well that a single word, if she asked them, like, what word describes me, they would know, because they would know her. Okay, it's kind of deep. And that word was vivacious. So her and her friend decided to run this little experiment and ask guys, what word describes her? And so a guy I knew went by there, and they said, what word describes Nerissa? And he said, goofy. And
next.
Right, yeah. So I came wandering by, and they said, Bobby, what word describes Nerissa? And I said, well, vivacious, of course. And so the two of them freaked out, in fact. They looked at each other like, and the other girl said, well, you can change your word. And she's like, well, no, you can't. That is the word. That is my word, you know. And the person that he knows, you know. So anyway, it created a lot of havoc. And but in the end, it worked out. And so that was to represent a V for that she's vivacious, and also love, because I wanted to design something that kind of had a feeling of a heart. So I made the V kind of heart-like, and so that's what I did. And so when I was making these things, it was not hard for me to do it, because it was work, you might say, because I was having to saw, and I was having to file and sand. But you know what? The whole process of making these for my wife was just easy. It was easy because I felt love. I was trying to express through my work that I knew who she was, and I knew what she would care about, and that when she got it, I wanted her to be pleased with what I gave her. And so the whole process was a process of love, where she would receive this thing. And I think that is kind of gives me a little bit of an idea of what God is looking for us when we serve him. Is he's not looking for us to do something. We shouldn't like not want to do it. It should be something that we get an opportunity to demonstrate our love through the service that we're offering. So I wanted to then give you another 30 seconds to answer this question amongst yourselves or the person next to you. So what comes to mind when you think about loving God with your whole being while serving or volunteering? So 30 seconds. What comes to mind when you think about loving God with your whole being while serving or volunteering? Ten seconds. Okay, so you might be wondering, so you guys that were up there doing on this mission trip, were you able to do that? Were you able to, like, love God, you know, with your whole being while doing all that work? Well, no. That's a very difficult thing to do. It's very hard. Now, there were times, most of the students said there were times that crossed my mind and I tried to do it, but it's hard to maintain, you know, a steady, to keep God present in your mind while you're working. As much as you try, and I challenge you to do it because it's what God wants us to do. It's what he's commanded us to do, but it's difficult. But what we didn't do is we didn't take the easy way out and say, well, let's just not do it. You know, I think it's important that as difficult as it is, that we realize that is what God is commanding us to do, and that is what we need to continue to be trying to do, even if it's difficult. In fact, I think something like this is common because we know how difficult it is. It would be common for me to say, okay, everybody, come on this mission trip. You know, it'll be lots of fun. We'll get all the work done out and out of the way, and then we get to hang out and have fun. And we'll focus on having fun and not focus on the fact we're going to work. But I think that's really missing the point, because it gives the misconception that the purpose was just to get the work done. We didn't go to Maranatha just to get work done. We went to Maranatha to love God by doing the work. It's a big difference. And it's easy as Christians for us to start feeling like getting the work done is what God wants us to do. No, he wants us to get the work done as a way of loving him. If my wife got the jewelry, or if I was working on it and I just wanted to get it done, it just isn't the same as that I'm loving her through the making of the jewelry. And so as Christians, as we're doing these kinds of things, when we're doing any kind of volunteer or serving, realize that is what God, that is our opportunity. Love God through the work, through the service. It's scriptural because God's primary purpose is for us to love him with our entire being, including the physical. Remember, it said that, with all of your strength, while striving to get stuff done because of our love for him. So changing the goal misses the point. It really does, and it causes us to feel content even though we've abandoned the highest command. I mean, it's common to try to figure out how to get people to do something for the wrong reason. And it's okay because they got the job done. And I'm suggesting that it's not okay. And if we're finding ourselves in ministry and we're just trying to give ourselves ways to feel good about it, but in the reality, God's not part of it, we're missing the boat. We are missing the preeminent command of God, and that is to love God with all of who we are, and that means in our service to love him. So the struggle's real, and it doesn't come easy, and the fact is that it's war, because it's spiritual battle. We are constantly distracted. We are constantly enticed by things to go a different route. Loving God, giving him that presence of mind is an extremely difficult thing to do. But that is the command. No matter how difficult it is, that is the command. That is what he's asking for. So the first, I have two applications, and the first one is to say that, Lord, I'm going to actively embrace the battle of loving you, and in the back of your bulletin, there's a place to say, like, how are you going to do that? How are you going to love God with all that you are? Now, let me just finish the story real quick. Now, when it comes to making jewelry, I could also go a different route. Truly, when I was making this, I was doing this for my wife. But, you know, I've done things at times where it kind of got short-circuited, where I'll start out with an idea of making something for somebody, and then pretty soon, you know, I'm making all this stuff, and I have lots of different boxes of stuff, by the way, different tools, and I could get all into explaining to you, like, all the precision of the filing, and how difficult it was to make those flowers, and the curve on that stem is just right, and I put the the leaf in just the right place, and look at my work, and how proud you could be of me. And I had to use, you know, I could tell you about the propane or whether you should use acetylene and the silver solder, and go on and on and on about the process. And after a while, Narissa gets left way in the dark because it's about what I'm working on. And then I'll want to show you what I'm working on. And I'd say, you know, Emma, you ought to see this flower. It's like perfect, you know, and the V, and you look at the design on that, and it's really cool. And so after a while, it's not about Narissa. It's about the object. And then it gets worse. Beyond the object, then I start feeling good about myself and saying, look what I can do. I'm pretty artistic, aren't I? And I have learned how to do silversmithing, and people are really think that I do, you know, and they ask me to make something for them. And so then pretty soon it goes to being about me. So it started about Narissa, moves to being about the object, and then pretty soon it's about me. And so I think it kind of looks like this, and it's this downward spiral where we can take something that really had a good beginning and it ends up being something that is not, is quite ugly, actually. It becomes a very prideful thing. The trouble is, with people, we can deceive them. And we can make it look like it was all about them. And it could have been all about me, and I turn around and my wife maybe never know that. That, you know, over here I'm showing it all off and it's really trying to, you know, just build my self-esteem. And she wouldn't know that unless I told her. Well, God does know. He knows intimately what's going on with us. He knows if it started off about him and if our work up at that camp actually turned out that we were all proud of our cement lane and, you know, look what we did and we're hardworking people and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Pretty soon it's not about God at all, and it misses the whole point. So we need to make sure that if we're finding ourselves in that position, that we are bringing it back around and seeing our problem, and we need to be willing to change. We need to follow Romans 12 and says, therefore, I exhort you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing to God, which is our reasonable service. Instead of it making it about us, we've got to sacrifice ourselves and make it about him. We need to turn. We need to repent. We need to realize that, and I don't know of anybody I've ever spoken to in my life that this doesn't happen to, that in the midst of what we're doing, even though it was for God, somehow works its way around to being about us. And we need to repent of this. We need to change. We need to say, God, I am not going to continue to take your glory. I'm not going to continue to take what was originally meant for you and now it's become about me. I'm going to turn back around. So the second application is, Lord, I've made something. What is it in your life? What is it that you've made about you? That originally it was about God, but through the process of it all, your self-esteem, my self-esteem got involved, and pretty soon it was about me. And take this moment to say, Lord, I want to give it back to you, and therefore I'm going to do that, and how you're going to do that. And on the back of your bulletin, you have a place to do it. And last of all, I want to ask if you're here today and maybe you don't even have a relationship with God. Maybe loving God is not something that's ever even really been part of your life because you don't actually know God. And if you're in that boat, I just want to point you to a verse that you've probably heard of, that God loves you so much. It says in John 3:16, for this is the way God loved the world. He gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God loves all of us intimately. And he wants a relationship with all of us. And if you've not ever had that relationship with him, I invite you to invite him into your life. And if you have that relationship with him already, I encourage each and every one of you, as well as myself, to keep our focus on loving him with everything that we are and not letting the serving And the volunteering that we're doing to take on a life of its own and to become ours and to become proud, and but that we give it back to him and serve him with our entire being. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for the times that I take what was meant for you and I make it about me, Lord. I pray that I will recognize when I'm doing that, that I'll be sensitive and acutely aware of when I'm stealing your glory and seeking to use things that were meant for you and allowing them to become something that I become proud of and want people to notice about me, Lord. Don't let me go further without being aware of that, and I pray that I'll be repentive when I see those things going on, Lord. And Lord, help us to be constantly aware that our purpose for living is to serve and to love you and to do it with everything that we are, Lord, and that that serving is in and of itself is not the point, but it's loving you and to Lord, just give us that inward desire to pursue you and to seek to use opportunities to serve you as a way to love you and to relate with you. We ask this in your name. Amen.